Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep, and at the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer shall be unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Oh God, we pray that you will draw the great truths of this portion, the Holy Writ. Print them, O God, upon our hearts and enlighten our understanding. Give us attentive minds, diligent hearts seeking thee this day. And oh God, we pray in Jesus' name that you will satisfy the thirst your children have for you, even this day, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The phrase which stands out before my eyes in this particular psalm is found in verse 2. Verse 2. Where David says, My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. David has just told us in this psalm how that he was brought to this place of thirsting for God. And he tells us that he was taken into a wilderness, into a valley, and as it were, the presence of God was temporarily cut off from him. David said, Where is my God? Where is my God? When we think of thirst and relate it to our natural bodies, we've all been in a place, I'm sure, where we cried out for a drink of water. And the times that we really cried out for a drink of water the most was when we were in a dry place and we were really thirsty. You get caught out in the desert under that sun for a few hours. You do any work out in that kind of heat, you'll soon get thirsty. Amen? So I believe it is in the Spirit. And so I believe David is telling us that he experienced a dry place. And he responded in the way that any normal person should respond. We should get thirsty for God. Now, David relates his experience to three different locations. We find those listed in verse 6. The land of Jordan, the Hermonites, or Mount Hermon, and the hill Mizar. Now, the hill Mizar is a small mountain peak in Lebanon. It means little or small, petty in size. It means to be brought low. David is telling us that he was brought low. God brought him in the realm of little things. He didn't give him anything big. He just gave him little things. The bringing down low, to make him feel petty in size. David also said that I was there with the Hermonites. These were natives of Mount Hermon. And one of the root meanings of the Hebrew word for Hermon means to be accursed, or to be dealt with bluntly, or to flatten one's nose. David said that I had my nose flattened. How many have ever felt like you've had your nose flattened spiritually? God brought him into that place where he felt that God was pressing against him, that the curse was upon him, not the blessing, but the curse. Felt that God was dealing abruptly with him. And he says also, I will remember the land of Jordan. Jordan means to descend, or to go downwards, to be cast down. And in all three of these locations, we gain the similar meaning of being pressed down, being brought into a dry place. Do you get the picture of what David was going through? Well, what happened to David is not that unique. I believe that it's happening to thousands of God's people around the world today. This type of an experience does one of two things to each and every one of us. We either become discouraged and we backslide and we fall away from God and we begin to give up, or we begin to get a thirst that just will not stop. We begin to get thirsty for God. I find people do one of two things when God brings them out into a wilderness and seems to put a curse on them there rather than a blessing. Sickness rather than healing. Poverty rather than prosperity. Torment rather than a sound mind. Either we get bitter and envious and jealous of those that are being blessed, or we begin to get a thirst after God like we never had before in our lives. David was broken, but he found that during that time, there was developing deep down in his spirit a thirst for God, a thirst for the living God. David's own testimony is this: I was cast down and broken in spirit. God's waves and billows swept over me. God has permitted me to be oppressed, pushed down, discouraged. He tells us that he suffered physical affliction. Even his bones ached and they felt rotten within him. He was sick. He says, my enemies reproached me. They made fun of me. They laughed at me in my low estate. Why aren't you prospering? They said, where is your God? Where is that God you preach, David? You're so cocky, you preach it, why don't you live it? David said, I couldn't find him. I couldn't find God. But he was brought to one of the most precious places a man or woman could ever be brought. He says in verse 1, as the deer, as a male deer pants after the water brooks in the mountain, so my soul pants after God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Oh, when will I find God? When can I ever come before God? David didn't get bitter. He didn't backslide. He just got thirsty, and there's nothing wrong with that. Do you condemn God in your valleys and condemn everybody else? Or do you just get thirsty? Well, I think this is the most healthy thing that can happen to any of us. We read the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 tells us that he saw the multitudes, and he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In verse 6 of Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hallelujah. I believe that our greatest victories in the Lord will always be preceded by a time of dryness in our life, where God proves us, proves what's down deep in our heart. Moses, there he was on the backside of the Sinai desert, a general. Now all he was an old shepherd, just making minimum wages. But it was there where he met the living God. The living God that came down and set the bush on fire. Hallelujah. It was in the dry place where he met the living God. And David, before his greatest hour, when he went out against Goliath, came to know the living God. And when he went out against Goliath, he looked him right straight in the eyeballs and he said, "You big piece of flesh, you have defied the living God whom I serve." David won the victory because he knew the living God. And Joshua told the children of Israel that you'll know the living God when you see him drive out the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites, all the ites out of the land. You'll come to know the living God. Hezekiah, before his greatest hour of victory, when he touched God and the Lord answered and destroyed 185,000 Assyrians, Hezekiah was brought to the place where he knew the living God. He prayed to God in heaven that Sennacherib was defying the living God. Matthew 16, Peter got that revelation from the Father. He looked at Jesus and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, how we need that revelation today. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Our body is the temple of the living God. Don't ever lose that reality in the valley, in the wilderness experience, but hunger and thirst for the presence of the living God. One proof that David had that he could lay hold of, that he knew he was thirsting after God, is found in verse 3. David says, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" I don't think that a man or a woman can experience anything any more encouraging, any more strengthening in the time of your brokenness and your valley than have God to bring you down to the dust where you can learn to weep and to cry before God. That's something that the devil can't take away from you. David says, "If it hadn't been for my tears, I wouldn't have had any meat. It's my strength." Jesus said in John 4:32, "I have meat which you don't even know anything about." What was that meat? My Bible tells me in Hebrews 5, verses 7 and 8, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And verse 7 tells us that he wept before God with strong crying. I thought I was being persecuted and being pushed off by God and ill-treated. And right in the midst of that thing was the time when I'd have to stop my car. I was crying so hard and weeping so hard that I couldn't even drive from my tears. Little did I know that this was my meat. I'd rather have the little things be brought down to that place to learn where true strength really comes from before God. Be blessed with one continuous mountaintop experience and not be denied that brokenness that can change your life and make a weeping man out of a proud man. David also knew that he still had confidence towards God. In the midst of his battle, he said, I still want to go to the house of God. I still want to rejoice with God's people. I still have a desire to praise God. I'll tell you, you know you're on the right track when in the midst of your battle, you don't get bitter and hard and sarcastic, but all the more you have a desire to want to come to prayer meeting and want to come to the house of God and want to worship God and praise God and rejoice together with God's people. Yes, this is true. You can have it and know that God is watching you. His eyes are upon you. Tommy and LaVon were singing. Oh, it's so easy to get hard during the time of our valley. David said, I've got a song in the night. Despite the darkness, I still feel like singing when I wake up in the middle of the night. When everything goes wrong, I still feel like singing. There's something down in my heart that still wants to sing. Hallelujah! And he gives us his own personal testimony. That he still was clinging to the word. He was still standing upon the rock. He was still confessing the truth. Even though he wasn't experiencing it, he was still confessing it. And he was still hoping beyond hope that someday God would pour out the blessing. This is why God puts us through our valleys. This is why God gives us the little things before he gives us the big things. This is why you've got to have the little ministry before you can have the big ministry, to see what's really in your heart. Boy, I say this. If I can just have the kind of thirst that David had, I know I won't miss God. From David's other writings, we know that there came a new day in his life. Psalm 145, verse 16, David testifies, Thou openest thine hand, thou satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Psalm 145, verse 18, The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Verse 19, he says, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. When Jesus came before the Father with strong crying, the Father heard him, was with him through his darkest hour, brought him forth from the grave. There's not a person here that if we'll just thirst after God, when we're going through our valley of small things. But what God will do the same thing for us that he did for David. He'll give us the desire of our heart. Sometimes we want all the good things of God without ever, ever letting God crush us and push in our nose far enough that we can begin to weep. How many men can weep today?
How many want that kind of an experience? Praise God.
This is the Pentecost season. Pentecost relates to the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And on that great feast day in Jerusalem, when Jesus was here upon earth, he spoke these words, "If any man thirsteth, let him come unto me. If any man thirsteth, let him come unto me." We were singing from our songbook about pouring out water upon those that are thirsty. Ho, everyone that is thirsty. I was thinking about that particular song, my prayer and meditation time this week, and God spoke to me from Isaiah 44, verse 3, that I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I thought, that's what I want, God. That's what I want. Floods upon the dry ground. Isaiah 55, 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Really, how thirsty are you today? I find myself many times praying for, in particular, young people. What will happen to some of our young people when they get out from under daddy's covering and mommy's covering, when they go into the service, when they move several hundred miles away? Do they really have this thing down in their spirit, or do they have it just because we brought them here? Do they really have a thirst that's going to hold up when you get out in the world? We'll find out, won't we, young men? We'll find out, won't we, young ladies? We're all growing up. You've got to have your own experience, not daddy and mommy's experience. You've got to have your own experience with Jesus. Hallelujah. People, don't be ashamed of the tears that God has given you. Well, I say today, thank him for them. Hallelujah. Thank him for them. They're your meat. I think how fortunate that we are. Most of you read in the paper just a day or two ago how that a young man, I believe in just in his 30s, from one of the big trucking firms here in town, seemingly everything to live for, financially, probably set up for life, at the Cherry Creek Dam and shoots himself and kills himself. And that hurt me. I haven't been able to get that thing off my mind. I mean, money just won't satisfy. Where did somebody miss in getting through to that man? I thought about a few months back, Cindy and I went to a basketball game down at the Auditorium Annex Theater down here, and we sat right behind that man's brother. I thought, wow. Did anybody witness to him? Did anybody try to tell him about Jesus? Maybe he's a believer. Maybe something happened. I don't know. I'm just saying the world is full of people like that. Movie stars that have to keep getting remarried and remarried. They can't find it in that. We're responsible to tell people about Jesus, to be witnesses for him on our jobs, the community where we live. But in closing today, most of us are believers. Some of us are going through valleys. Some of us are experiencing some of the things that David experienced. How are we reacting? How are we reacting? Are we getting harder, or are we just getting a greater thirst for God? When God cuts you off and you really don't have the move of the Spirit in your life, the gifts of the Spirit, do you really just put it aside and say, I don't care, I don't need it anyway? Or do you really hunger and thirst after the gifts? That proves to me what kind of a person you really are. That proves to God what kind of a person you really are.
Remember when Lee Pena was here, he sang that song, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. How many remember that? I thought he did it so good, I asked Brother Dave if he had that record to play that for us this morning. If you're here this morning, go ahead and play it if you got it, Dave. If you're here, I just want to encourage you that God is prepared to pour out water upon him that is thirsty. Hallelujah. This is the day for me to draw closer to God. I know it is. It's your day. Listen to these words. Lift it up, David.
For everyone that is weary and sad, come to the fountain. There's fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be glad. I will pour water on him.
Turn that down for just a second. I'll ask Dave to play that again, but I just want to invite you to move as God leads you to move. If you feel like going to the altars as he begins to play it again, do it. But young people, I want to tell each one of you exactly what I've told both my girls. Don't rely on my experience with God to get you through. You're going to have your own experience. Some of you boys have fallen away from God. There's no joy on your faces. You fall away from God when you should be hungering after God. I could go out and point you out and lift you out of your seat, but what good's that going to do? That's getting old stuff to have mommy and daddy just make you come to church, to bring you to church. But you got to get hungry for God. Old people, it's not just the young people that need to fill the altars, it's the old people too, that drift away from God and settle for a halfway experience when you could really have the gifts of God's Spirit in your life. You could really have the things of God in your life. Don't be discouraged down in that valley, but realize that God is just trying to bring out true things. Bring them forth in your life. Thirst after him today. Remember, Jesus said the truth of Pentecost is that I will pour out rivers of living water. There's enough for all of us. I encourage every one of you. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Okay, Dave, let her go.
Is weary and sad. Cry. blood.